This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, awaiting them, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So, here we are again. So this is the third Monday night meditation session of the since the rain retreat ended. So, how are we all today? All good? Yeah, no worries. All good. Excellent. So at this point, it's Bob's turn to tell me what we're doing today. Usually have a suggestion. No suggestion from Bob. That's all right. That's okay. You can think of something next time.
Okay.
Well, I thought I was. Often I come to these sessions and I have some sort of plan about what I'm going to do and what I'm going to talk about. And Bob pipes up and all my plans change. So that's in the Buddha's way of just talking about things. That's anicca, so impermanence. So things change. So it's good. We've had a couple of weeks to get into gear after the rains. Myself and Santuti currently working down the hill on the just down at the lower cottage, the granite flat. So we started renovating the bathroom there, which is the first part of our project to make it into a nice place for a couple of meditators to live. And Rob's been very good in living on a building site, so thanks to him too. There we go. Hello, Bob. What's up? What did you think of?
Pick your favourite suitor.
My favourite suitor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. That's actually not an easy question, is it? There's quite a lot of great suitors. But,
well, there's only a couple of hundred.
Well, there's probably thousands. But we'll stick to the Munchman Akai. Actually, there's one I really like. I don't know how it relates. I guess it does relate to meditation. It talks about where the person with the bronze dish. So the man with the bronze dish. There's a few different bronze people with bronze dishes, because the Buddha liked to talk in groups of four, right? So they talk about a person who has this bowl, and it's beautiful and shiny, and they think, oh wow, that's a lovely bowl, and then he takes the lid off, and I look inside, and it's full of all sorts of nasty stuff, and I won't go into detail because it's actually pretty gross, but and these people say, oh wow, you know, we thought this is a beautiful bowl, but look inside, I have absolutely no appetite at all, and there's also the man with the bowl, or the woman perhaps, with the bowl, an old tarnished brass bowl, you know, sort of, the copper's got a bit green, it's covered in verdigris and stuff, but they look inside, and the food inside is so good, it's this wonderful curries and sauces and beautiful rice and everything, and Buddha was saying, you know, people would look in and they'd say, even those who had already eaten would be hungry, let alone those who are not eaten. So it's a way of expressing the difference between the external, how people appear, and actually what's going on in the mind. So I really like that. I really like that sutra. There's also the person who has the beautiful dish, and inside is beautiful food, and the person with the tarnished bowl and the not so nice stuff in there. I think it's like a dead snake or something like that. It's a nice sutra. There's a few other similes in there, but it does. It's kind of the Buddha's way of saying that. yes, don't judge a book by its cover, and don't judge the contents of a bowl by its outer cover. So what we're doing here today, is to, however we appear on the outside, is to have a good heart inside. You know, so we develop the good qualities, the ability to sort of let go and to. Sit here today, we'll sit for half an hour, soon enough, and I was talking about this a little bit on my the retreat I did last Sunday, and I was talking about this idea of this mental quality of being able to let go, to be able to make peace, and to give up control of the world around us. At least for a little while, we'll do our best, and also to cultivate the quality of metta bhavana. So I was just talking to Jamie in the library today, and we're looking through. Oh, well, we're actually talking about the sutta we just chanted, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. Although we were talking about the Pali version, and to. If we can develop this quality of metta, of loving kindness, of being kind to those around us, whether they're good to us, whether they're troublesome, or whether they make mistakes, that sort of thing, and also to be very kind to ourselves as well, because we all do things that we wish we hadn't, or we make mistakes sometimes. You know, today we're making working on the bathroom, and we had to. Santutu was putting in a row of bricks, and he's doing a nice little custom job there. He's doing a very good job, and my job was to mix the concrete, right? The mortar, right? See, the mortar goes on the bricks, holds the bricks together. That's kind of important. But I mixed it beautifully. It was just the right consistency, and he put it all together, and they said, "JR, was that mortar or was that brick and sand and cement?" I said, "Sand and cement. It was supposed to be mortar." I'm like, "Oh no." And he was, "Oh no." He was terrified it was all going to fall apart, but we did some research and it should be all right. A little bit coarse, but we're going to put tiles on, so it's all right. So, yes, even monks are fallible. And so I had this kindness jar, so as we go, we'd worked well all morning, and then right at the last minute we discovered something was wrong. But we're in the tradition of Ajahn Brahm, and he always teaches about the two bad bricks. So when he was building Vajrayana Monastery, he had his two bad bricks, and he learned to love them, and everyone looks for the two bad bricks now. So if you're ever, you know, in the shower down there, you'll look at it and go, well, you know, there's, well, you know, it's sand and cement, it's not the mortar, but anyway, it's all right. So just having this ability to let go and to be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and to practice harmlessness as well, to try as your best as you go through life to not tread lightly in the world, I think is the best way to put it. I know, just to live in such a way as to make life easy for others and to, the Buddha talked about these sort of three different qualities of making peace, being kind and being gentle, Ajahn Brahm describes these qualities as good meditation karma. So if we practice these things, we tend to have good meditation. It's not so much that we do this or do that, but just as we develop the mind, meditation flourishes. Yeah, the hindrances to meditation naturally fade away, and we can have some very nice, pleasant meditation. And that's kind of what the Buddha's talking about when he talks about the bowl. What's inside is the important part. So we can have some tasty meditation. and also as you cultivate these things, it also inspires others. A lot of people come to this monastery, and it's 10:30, 10:40. It's almost time for lunch, and the monks are still working so hard. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're in the back.
It just occurred to me that we're all tarnished bowls with yummy stuff inside.
Well, are we? I don't know. I don't know, you don't really know unless you know someone well. You probably don't know what sort of sauces and curries are in there. I was just saying, the monks come up here at 10:30 or 10:40 or something before the meal, and we're all sweaty and dirty and stuff, but everyone looks upon us and say, they don't say, "Oh, you know, you're really smelly or you're covered in dirt." They say, "Wow, you guys work hard." Inevitably, whenever we come up for lunch, they say, "You guys work hard." So that's always very, very. Very nice, and especially with Ajahn Zanduti. He's very good at motivating people to work hard, and I think we all get the rewards of that. So today we can continue to cook up some fine mental qualities by sitting in meditation for half an hour. If you need to sort of shuffle or just adjust your clothing or whatever you need to do. You can dim the lights. Yes. Is it cool enough in here? I don't know. It's not pointed anywhere near me, so I don't know. I'm quite comfortable. So everyone's good. We can settle down and relax. It's got a little light, that's good. So, now's the time just to give a little bit of kindness to the body. As we sit here, your body is just like your car. Come here tonight. Yeah, find a spot to put it. And then you can just hop out, lock the door, set the alarm and forget about it. So in the same way, we let go of the body. We just let it be. Make sure it's comfortable and that it's not a problem. You don't have to worry about it. And we just rest here. By allowing ourselves to stop. We stop draining away the natural energy that we have. And just let it slowly well up in us. Just let go of the whole world outside this room. And your responsibilities. Anything that's happened today. We're just here in the present, in the here and now. And with not much to distract us. Body's comfortable. It's nice and quiet. Except for the peacock. Our neighbors. It's very, very peaceful here. And you find that the tiredness and weariness of the day's work is something you can just relax into. Let it be. After a while, you do start to recognize what's going on in the mind. When you're out there in the world, it's kind of in the background. And a bit of stillness. still body, a still, still place. Gradually, the mind slows down. And however the mind is, whether it's peaceful, whether it's quite busy, oh, the important thing is just to have contentment, to let it be, to say this is good enough. I'm good enough. Yeah, it's okay. being kind and being gentle. And meditation becomes yummier and yummier over time. comfortable. I've got another 15 minutes or so. So, does anyone have any questions? Anyone have any questions about meditation or about Dhamma? So good. Well, as usual. Hey, Bob. What's up?
Any nifty tricks on stopping random thoughts?
Yeah, don't try. I mean, that's kind of the process of meditation. Yes, I mean, thinking is what the mind does. It's not something we can just shut off. Was it Ajahn Brahm? I think he made the use similar. It's like, you know, there's ripples on the water, and you try to stop them by slapping them down. So, I think one way to look at it is this process of making peace, of letting go of control. The less you try and control the thoughts, well, they're probably not random. There's probably some reason why those particular thoughts would arise. But rather than try and make them go away with their will, it's better just to let them be and to just kind of watch them, welcome them into the mind and examine them. Yeah, just to see these thoughts. And it's like, that's interesting. have a bit of curiosity to sort of be there peacefully and just let them be. It's kind of the snow globe effect, right? So, you know, the world shakes up your mind, whether it's through sight, smell, taste, touch, or hearing. The Buddha talked about this. All of these things contact the mind, and because of that, we have all sorts of mental phenomena, the thoughts and emotions and moods and all this sort of stuff. And really, all we have to do is to just sit here and sit on your cushion at home and just relax and be content. I remember Ajahn Brahm was talking about in one talk. It was quite a nice talk. It's a long way back, maybe in the middle of the rains, or maybe just a Wednesday night talk. Probably just a normal Wednesday night talk. Yeah, so at Bodhinyana Monastery, there Ajahn Brahm gives a talk on a Wednesday night when he's in the monastery, when he's not travelling. So the deeper ones, he tends to teach deeper ones during the rains, but outside the rains he gives us a lot of advice as well. He's talking particularly about the hindrance of restlessness, which is probably a little bit of quite close to what you're talking about. The, what was it? Udaka Kudacha, I think it is, in Pali. And he said that the antidote to that particular hindrance is contentment I keep saying this is good enough, this is good enough. That's definitely not. that goes back to Ajahn Brahm and goes back to the Buddha, you know. Just to have that contentment is very effective with the restless mind. To have that contentment means to let the mind be no matter what, how it is, you know, whatever thoughts are arising. And our moods as well, because we all have, you know, grumpiness. We have a lot of wanting and all that sort of stuff. And at the end of the day, Ajahn Brahm said, actually, you know, contentment is the answer to all of the hindrances. So the process of meditation takes time. It's not something you sit down and it's at the end of 30 minutes or an hour that it's just finished. You know, there's always work to do. So just to be content with how far you've come. I'm sure you've all come. You're all here on a Monday night. You can do a bit of meditation. So you know, you're all working to, in your own way, cultivate your mind. So just to be content with that. We're not all monks. Very few of us here are monks. and even as monks, we have to accept that we have our limitations. We're not, you know, there's all these great monks that you look up to, like Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Chah, Ajahn Tate, all these wonderful monks that have been, you know, cultivating the mind for such a long time, and they can be very inspiring. So, yeah, it's a path to be walked, and contentment, good enough. Yeah. Does anyone have any more questions? That was a good one. That was a good one. No.
Just a comment. I mean, you know, some of the thoughts you can get rid of by sort of saying, oh, well, that's the past, you know, you can't change that, so you can say, oh, well, leave that, and the same as the future, well, the future's uncertain anyway, it might not happen, so there's no use worrying about that, but, you know, and as Dr. Brahm says, you know, you got the two suitcases of past and the future.
Sure.
You can put them both down if you can.
That's right. That's right. Oh,
but it's easier said than done.
Well, yeah, indeed. Otherwise, we'd all be we'd all walk out of here arahants. So.
Yeah.
But I think the nice thing is, yeah. So Ajahn Brahm, I think it's even in the basic method, isn't it? He talks about the past and future as two heavy suitcases, and because we carry them around all day, we get really tired. You know, I always, you know, encourage people when they meditate. You know, sometimes you sit down after I get a pretty easy life. I'm sure a lot of people out in the world, they work very hard. They get to the meditation cushion at the end of the day, and they're very tired. And I think it's a really good way to bring up some energy is just to put these things down if you can. But they are difficult. But there is one trick at least, which is that. When you put down the suitcases of the past and the future, you know you can always pick them up again. They're just sitting there, the handle's right there, you know, once the meditation's over, you can pick it up again, and if you really want to. But sometimes, you know, you get to the end of a nice meditation and you just don't want to anymore. Past and the future, I'm not sure why I was interested in the first place, but... But yeah, it differs from person to person, and it differs from time to time. It's just that is the process. The process is letting go. And when you get to the point where there's nothing left to let go of, then the work's done. But so yeah, just do the work. Yeah. Any else? We've got a few minutes. But anyway, I mean, you've all made the effort to come out tonight, so that's a lot more effort than 99.9% of the population. Pretty good. That's pretty good. It's good. Yeah, so, you know, for the next 9 months, we'll be here. Sam Tudy will be back next week with his own brand of meditation. We all do things a bit differently. And there is another half-day retreat coming up soon. Yes, the half-day retreat. You're going to remind me, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, very good. That's good. So you can see up there on the wall below the clock, below the funky grey clock. There's a sign, so we'll always keep the sign up there for the next retreat. So he'll do the next one. Was it November 23rd on a Saturday afternoon for 2 to 4? There are actually heaps of places on there, so for whatever reason, so you're all welcome to come to that. You just just send us an email if you can, and we'll book you in. Or at least I think this time. We were thinking if we had a lot of applicants that we'd draw them randomly. So if you apply, if you send us an email, maybe 2 weeks before, I don't know exactly, about 2 weeks or 10 days before, we'll send out an email to confirm that you were in luck. I did my first one last Sunday and it went quite well, actually. I find this this room is actually, now that it's been fully renovated and, well, I don't know, fully, there's always work to do, but it is a really nice place to come and practice. So for 4 hours of the day, you can come and I think we spent about 2 of the hours in meditation. I did 3, for me it was like 3 40 minute sits. And then there's a packet of Tim Tams and a cup of tea out there for the other times of the day. All the Tim Tams went last time, I'm very happy. So, only put one box out there, but they went, they're very popular. So yeah, no, well, yeah, so me and Sati will continue the teaching schedule until the next Rains Retreat. So the Monday nights and the retreats. Also, there's always Amel group, for those who are in the area, it's just down the road. How's that going now, Bob? Is it, Molly? It's good? Yep. Yeah. Who turned up?
We had John Happy last week.
Last week. So here's the first monk. Yeah. After the rains, yeah. Okay, and you got, do you know who's doing it tomorrow?
Not until tomorrow morning.
Ah, okay, very enough. Well, sooner or later, me and Santuti will get a call and we'll, it's like, oh, okay. Because we come out and help as well. Yes, Bob?
At 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
Well, it was what we did last time. That was, yes. Just before, yeah, before the end of the rains, we, before the beginning of the rains, we did the last Abhinav session, and it was actually myself, Santuti, and Sukakamo. We had a trifecta. Yes, indeed. So it's good. There's plenty of opportunities for practice, which is all good. Ajahn Santuti did mention if anyone wants to make a bit of good karma, they can come here a little bit earlier. And give us a hand just putting out the seats and maybe the tea tray as well. So if anyone's keen to do that, they can come and help us out. That'd be great. Okay, so that's it. We can wrap up with the dedications of merits. We've all made some good karma tonight, coming out here and hanging out with good friends and good people and. Yeah, doing a bit of meditation and enjoying ourselves. Okay, so.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss, and realize the deathless, through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana, in every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord, the Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Very, very good. Okay.
Thank you, Ajahn.
Thank you all. Wonderful. Thanks for coming. Okay.